11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals.
Welcome along to the League Podcast. God, I've missed that intro music. Thank you very much to Mark Walton for filling the gap for the last couple of weeks. And thank you, Pete Farris, for being ever present. Good of you.
Some of us don't take holidays during season.
I know. Some of us have to take holidays when we're going to be in Brazil for 3 weeks.
I hate you, Lee.
Let's have a look at the final day of the Football League season proper. Of course, we've got the playoffs to come and we'll be covering them in detail. But Pete's picked out 6 championship matches, all kicking off at 12:15. Of course, we're going to have a best bet in League 1, a best bet in League 2, and both teams to score double and a nap each. That's the way we do things. Before that, though, Pete, just a quick word. You've had a trip to Wembley this season with Chesterfield, the team that you commentate on week in, week out, and... You graced Burton Albion's pitch for the second time in your life.
It was it was a very interesting day. Yeah,
we won't talk about the first time.
You sometimes think, you know, you players talk about how good that feeling is when fans are chanting and you're on the pitch, and it's quite hard as a journalist or as a fan to sometimes contextualise that and understand that and understand why players are sometimes so down when they retire. I actually made it onto the pitch because I had to do some post-match straight after Chesterfield were announced as being a League One side. And the fans were chanting. I mean, obviously, they weren't chanting me, but they were...
No, they were trying to refuse to get off.
That's what it was. Yeah, but even then, you can just feel, even as, you know, and Chesterfield are a decent-sized club, but, you know, down at Burton, they'd packed the stand out. But we're not talking the new camp. We're not talking, you know, the Allianz. We're not talking, you know, one of the loudest places in the world. We're talking about Burton Albion. But even then, that wall of sound and movement that hits you, you can understand entirely why a footballer feels the way they do. It's an amazing thing. It really is. And talking to players and hearing their names chanted while I was interviewing them, and you can just feel this wall of sound, but it, not like you feel it in the stand, but like you feel it on the pitch, and it's amazing. So yeah, Chesterfield up. League Two's been a fascinating season this year. It really has, and it's been an honour to cover it this year. It really has been, and it's going to be interesting next season, I think.
Yeah, hard act to follow next season.
Yeah, I mean, Wembley promotion, you know, Chesterfield can win the league on the last game of the season. So, by the way, I think they do that, and 4-6 is the price for them to win that game against Fleetwood, and it's an unbelievably good price. It's been a good year, but, you know, it's not really about me. It's been about the hard work at Chesterfield, really.
It's good of you, but I think you might be right there. Let's have a look at the fixtures that Pete's picked in the Championship then, shall we? We'll start with Leeds United versus Derby County, first of all. Leeds are in 15th position on 56 points, and it's been a tumultuous season, I think most people would agree. Derby County, third on 84 points, and all about momentum into the playoffs now for them. Leeds are 8-5 at Elland Road, 12-5 for the draw, and Derby are 5-4. Sounds a bit trite, Pete, but you know, Leeds fans and players will want to finish the season on a high, won't they?
Absolutely. And you know, it's amazing how what difference a takeover and being settled can make, can't it? I mean, 3 wins from 4, and the one loss there was against Nottingham Forest. They've been to a Barnsley that they're not normally any good at and managed to pick up 3 points there. They've just beaten Birmingham, who are admittedly a poor side, 3-1. But ultimately, you know, Leeds have been in really good form of late. And Derby, you know, the argument with Derby has been for a long time, well, they're safe, they're not going anywhere, they're not going up, they're not doing anything other than focusing on the playoffs. But they are. I mean, they've won 5 back-to-back. They've put 3 past Blackpool, 3 past Huddersfield in that time, 4 past Watford last weekend as well. So they are obviously showing that they care and obviously going at this game. I looked at the price here on Derby at 5-4, and I just feel that while there has been that big push, you know, from Steve McLaren, not letting his players' focus drop, the final game of the season, I think, is a slightly different thing, isn't it? You know, it's a 12:15 kickoff. It will feel a lot different for his players. And, you know, Derby are a side that have now got the playoffs, as they have had for a couple of weeks, you know, nailed, and all they've got to do is think about that game. This game doesn't really matter to them. They're not going anywhere. And I think I just look at Leeds, and I think with the feel-good factor around Elland Road beginning to creep in now, you can feel people beginning to warm to Chelino around the area. You can feel, you know, three wins from four, that big sort of turn of confidence really starting to land for Leeds as well. You're also getting the top goal scorer in the league in Ross McCormack anytime at 10 to 11, which is very good. But what I do like here is Matt Smith anytime at 7 to 4. You're getting big players, you know, people like, for example, Nick Proshvitz. That height has really been stinging Derby. Not that it's been mattering long term, you know, but you are still getting players scoring against Derby from that kind of position. And Matt Smith, he's strong, he's physical, he's tall. 7-4 anytime just looks quite big for me in that game for him, because he's in decent form. You know, he scored the other day against Birmingham, wasn't it? He scored. You know, Ross McCormack, 7-4. He's in very good goal. Sorry, 10-11. He's in very good goal scoring form as well. But I looked at it and I just felt, because it's the final game of the season, because Derby's focus now really is wholly or not, well, in a couple of weeks, we've got the playoffs. It's next up, we've got the playoffs. And I just think that will maybe tell in this game. And you know what? With Leeds turning form, a beginning of a bit of confidence, Benito Carbone coming in, you know, Brian McDermott getting almost a public vote of confidence from Chelino as well, saying, well, look at the results since I've taken over. He's, you know, make it settled, and the previous owners lied to him, and all this stuff that makes you think that Chelino's on McDermott's side now. I think 8-5 for Leeds, final game of the season, with Derby's focus elsewhere, is a very good way in indeed.
Yeah, looks nice. Let's have a look at Bolton versus Birmingham next. 7-5 Bolton, 23-10 the draw, and Birmingham 19-10. Bolton, a little bit like Leeds, really. They've had an up-and-down season, and finishing probably around the 14th, 13th position. Can move up a place depending on results from 14th. As for Birmingham, well, they occupy the 22nd spot in the table and must get a point at least, depending on other results, and 3 points could still get them safety at Bolton. Generally, Pete, in a market where you've got one team who haven't got any desire to try for anything other than just a bit of pride, and you've got one team fighting for the lives, as a punter, you have to go for the team fighting for the lives if they're a bigger price, and Birmingham are.
I disagree.
Need a point if Donny lose at Champions Leicester, don't they, basically?
I actually disagree with that. If I'm honest with you, because if I look at it and I say that a team is good and they've got to win to get into the playoffs or the championship or, you know, or any kind of, you know, Europa League Champions League, then I'm happy to back that than a team who are poor, like Birmingham, who've got to win to stay up. Mm-hmm. Because they've not been good enough over the period of time anyway. If I look at this game, a couple of weeks ago, we looked and we said, listen, Bolton are going to start experimenting. Dougie Friedman will start experimenting. And he has. However, I thought he'd experiment and that'd go against him. It hasn't. He's experimented and it's gone really very much for Bolton. Yes, they lost that game, of course, in between, didn't they, against Leicester. But so what? They lost to Leicester. It doesn't matter. Other than that, 3 wins from 5 and they're playing good football and they're playing very, very well indeed. Now, add to that, of course, Neil Danza signed a permanent deal this week. He scored the other day and he's 4-1 any time, which, you know, if we're looking at mug bets, he's completed his permanent deal from Leicester. He scored a goal the other day and he's 4-1 any time. That looks pretty good to me. But if I'm honest with you, with the way that Birmingham are just collapsing, you know when you open the oven on a Yorkshire pudding too early and it just goes?
We've all done that.
It's like that in a way. And they really have struggled. I mean, they've picked up 2 wins from the last 9, and 2 wins from the last 10, I suppose, is a slightly more rounded stat. They are collapsing. They are in real trouble. And, you know, Lee Clark a couple of weeks ago, he issued a rallying cry and he was trying to burst these players in, but it hasn't worked. And they've not been able to pick up the points that they need. Now, the fact to me, if you look at this and you say that last weekend, Bolton didn't need to win at Sheffield Wednesday. They didn't have to. Yes, Wednesday had been shipping goals, but they didn't have to win. This weekend, it's the same. They don't have to win, but they still win, for me. 7-5 is big. Neil Dan's any time at 4-1 is absolutely massive as well. But I just think here, Birmingham's time, I think they're a bit of a Wolves, in a way. I know that Wolves sort of came down back-to-back and then, you know, I've managed to pull the reins with Kenny Jackett, but I look at it and I say, listen, I think Birmingham are done here. Off the field, it's been a bit of a disaster for me, and 7-5 this weekend for Bolton looks absolutely brilliant.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. I get that. Blackpool versus Charlton. Blackpool need a point at least depending on other results. The way the table looks at the moment is that Birmingham on 43 points and minus 16, so a good goal difference. Then you've got Donny Rovers, who we'll talk about in a minute, on 44 with minus 30 goal difference. Millwall on 45 with minus 29, and there sit Blackpool seemingly in the best position with 46 points and a minus 25 goal difference. So a Birmingham win and a defeat for Blackpool here would see them go down, depending on what Millwall and Donny do, of course. It's funny, I mean, Charlton themselves, 18th, they're on 48 points, the next team above them, they've had a bad run of things. Although when you look at their away form, they drew at Millwall, they beat Forest, they lost at Derby, they beat Leeds, they lost at Brighton, they beat Sheffield Wednesday, so well capable on their day. Blackpool's form has been pretty poor, and at home they've lost the last three on the bounce against Yeovil, Derby and Burnley. Barry Ferguson needs to pull something out of the box here, because you can forgive the Derby and Burnley defeats because they're two of the top teams in the division, but they really need a win here to set the nerves at rest. A draw will do it though, Pete.
A draw will do it, and you know, first and foremost, I mean, I was criticised on Twitter by a listener a couple of months back about being overly negative.
Only one?
Well, just about this anyway.
All right.
About being overly negative about Charlton, and at the time I thought, well, they've not been very good of late, really, and they picked up an important win around the time I got this tweet. But ultimately, it's been a really, really good work in terms of getting Jose Riga in. Riga has done an unbelievable job there. But of course, don't forget, only signed until the end of the season, Riga. And at the moment, there's no talk of him getting another deal. I think he probably will. But there is no reason for Riga to stop charging at this game. If he wants the Charlton job, and I think he's made it pretty clear he does want the Charlton job as well, that if he wants it, then this is another way to push forward to that Charlton hierarchy, that new Charlton hierarchy, well, newish, I suppose, and say, I want this job, give it to me, I'm good enough. Now, it looks like Blackpool's surprise win, and it is a surprise win over Wigan, is going to have saved them. I mean, like you say, if Millwall beat Bournemouth, if Donny can somehow pull something off against Leicester, and then Blackpool lose this game, that's when Blackpool are in trouble, of course, bearing in mind if Birmingham beat Bolton, which I don't think they do. It's been a bit of a nasty season for Bolton, hasn't it, as well? I mean, for Blackpool as well. They have replaced Paul Ince, but at first it was going brilliantly. And then they collapsed through the floor. This is a game, though, that again, if I'm looking at price and I'm thinking you've got a Blackpool side who might well be safe, who may, over a course of a season, it may well have just built up on them a little bit, on top of the fact that they know if they get a draw here, then, you know, they definitely stay up. A loss means that they probably still stay up because they've got Millwall and Donny behind them. Donny, of course, have got Leicester, and they've also got Birmingham in a really bad position with a tricky game against Bolton as well. I just think that maybe it's a little bit too much for Bolton when you also consider that Charlton and Jose Riga are going to absolutely want to win this game. The way that I played this in the end, though, is to play plus a goal, Charlton. Because, A, if Blackpool go 1-0 up and with 5 minutes left, Charlton equalise, Blackpool will know that's enough for them. Or 10 minutes left or 15 minutes left, Blackpool will know that's enough for them. I think Barry Ferguson turns pragmatist there. A draw for Jose Riga is not horrendous, you know. It still is off the back of a really good run of form and still pushes towards him getting the job, long term. So I just looked at this and I thought, plus a goal for Charlton here, who are in better form than Blackpool, and at 4-6 you're getting that. You can play the draw no better here at 6-4. I just thought that playing a pro Charlton way in here was better than playing a pro Blackpool way in here. And if you're playing the draw as well, then you know that Blackpool, who know themselves to get a draw, keeps them up. I know this is complicated, but a draw keeps them up. If, for example, they get to a situation where they're 1-0 down and they equalise Blackpool, they will be happy with that. And Charlton, it isn't the end of the world for them. So I think 4-6 plus a goal, Charlton, or draw no bet, Charlton at 6-4 were the two clever ways in here.
Yeah, I can see that. If you bet in play, then it might be worth a look at these. I do think no one would ever suggest that a game is fixed any way. But if you've ever played any level of football, you know that teams can take the foot off the pedal. If there's a mutual result that works, then just subconsciously, I think some players would just kind of start to kick the ball a bit more, and the game would just ebb off a little bit. So I think it's well worth bearing what Pete just said there in mind. If you're betting in play, look after the 60-minute mark. If it's a draw in that game, I think you might see a draw at full time. Moving on to the next game that we'll look at, it's Leicester versus Doncaster Rovers. Massive game for both clubs, really, this one, because obviously it's going to be a huge celebration for Leicester City going up to the Premier League as champions, and they're on 99 points. So a draw would get them the 100 mark, but obviously they'd like to finish with a win. at home to take them to 102 points and cap a tremendous season for them. They've won the last three on the bounce, at home to QPR, away at Bolton and away at Huddersfield without even conceding. And then you get Doncaster Rovers, who are a point above the drop zone with the worst goal difference apart from Barnsley in the division at the moment, and the worst goal difference, more importantly, among any of the other relegation threatened teams. Haven't won a game since they beat Leeds United on the 29th of March, and have only picked up 1 point since then. That's when they went to Millwall. It seems particularly improbable. And what's more improbable, or more ludicrous really, is the price. 7-2. I mean, I know Leicester don't have to win, but 7-2 for Doncaster Rovers. There should be about 8-1. 16-5 the draw. Leicester are 1-2 to win as champions and cap the season, Pete. I mean, this epitomises your argument earlier on. You know, all right, Donny have to win this game, you would imagine, to be absolutely safe. But Leicester, why would Leicester not win this game?
They wouldn't.
At 1-2.
Well, they should be 1-6.
Yeah,
1-5,
they should be,
right,
shouldn't they?
Because when you actually look at the amount of things that Leicester have got here, they've got records to break. Mm-hmm. They've got to get over the 100-point mark.
It's not a very good example, because they have got plenty of stuff to play for, haven't they?
Yeah. They've got to get over the line. You know, Nigel Pearson's been talking for months about getting over the 100-point mark. Mm-hmm. They've got to do that. They want to become one of very few teams who go up on the 100-point mark. They have got so much to push for, and they're 1-2. And it's this argument in betting that I've seen an awful lot of, they've got to win, so I've got to back them. Well, yeah, but then it's all relative, because Leicester have to win to break the 100-point mark. And it's not like we're sort of speculating that they want to do that. Nigel Pearson has come out several times and publicly said, we want to break the 100-point mark. So I'm kind of happy to go a Leicester here at 1-2. I've actually used them in my ACCA, which I've already placed, actually. And I've already used them in my ACCA as just, you know, the team to get me over the 6-team mark for the ACCA insurance. That's what I've used them for, at 1-2. It's an unbelievable bit of value. Donny are in trouble, but I think survive, because I don't think Birmingham get anything from Bolton. But I think Leicester at 1-2 are fantastic value. They've basically this season, often with Leicester, in the last couple of years, when people have backed them, there's always been, they're really good, but can we trust them? And this season, the answer has been resounding yes, hasn't it? Now, they've reached 2 home goals in every single game this season, barring 6 of them at home. So in all but 6, they've reached 2. And with the way that Donny have been conceding, just generally, but if you look at Donny's conceding of goals away from home, you know, it's been frightening. I mean, if we look at it generally, it's been, they've conceded at least 2 in all but 2 of the last, 8 or 9. They have been just so sloppy. And yes, away from home, they didn't concede at Millwall, they didn't concede at Forest, they did concede 2 against Burnley and Ipswich. But if you look at it like that, they conceded 2 away at Burnley. And Leicester, race to 2 is 3-4. And I just looked at it and I thought, I know I'm a big race to 2 and race to 3 better in play. I think in play, genuinely, for anyone who plays a lot of in-play markets, please look at the race to 2 and race to 3. They're the best markets that are offered for me. Unarguable, especially the race to 3, because you've got a team who've already reached 2. And often the price on them reaching 3 is sometimes odds against or narrowly odds on. And you're thinking, well, I've already scored twice and you've got plenty of the game left. It's a great market. But I think pre-match on this occasion, I'm going to take it as well. 3-4 for a team who want to get over 100 points. And look at it this way as well. If they throw everything at Leicester, then Leicester have got the quality to pick them back off as well.
Yeah.
So it's not like Donny are going to be approaching this game quietly like little mice. They're going to be going at it like dragons, and they might fail, and you know, maybe Birmingham will save them. But at the end of the day, I think 1-2 for an ACCA this weekend for Leicester is great, and I think 3-4 race to 2 for Leicester is fantastic.
Can't disagree with anything Pete said there about Leicester. Ipswich versus Sheffield Wednesday is one of the only games that hasn't got anything on it. Doesn't mean there's a bet in there though. 4-6 Ipswich, 13-5 the draw, and Sheffield Wednesday 3-1. A lot of Wednesday fans a few months ago would be delighted to hear us say that there's nothing on this game. They're on 53 points in 16th position. Ipswich finishing in probably around the 10th, 9th position on 65. There are a couple of teams who could be overtaken by them. You've got Blackburn on 67, Bournemouth 66, 65 for Ipswich and 65 Forest. So, I mean, if you're playing for league positions, then fair dues. As for the form, well, Sheffield Wednesday's away form, they'd been on a little bit of a losing streak, but then had a 3-3 draw at Forest and scored four at Bournemouth, so suddenly found their shooting boots over the last couple of games. Ipswich, been really good at home, lost one game since the 11th of January, and there's been a few wins in there as well. I think it's five wins and three draws in that really good home run, Pete. What is it you're looking at here?
Well, I know that, and some people will be looking and expecting this weekend for me to pick out all the games that have something on them. But it's not really how the podcast works, in that it's about trying to find good bets.
Yeah.
So, for example, I haven't looked at Millwall this weekend.
But you've given a bet for them.
Yeah, despite the fact they're even money, you know, against Bournemouth. And I actually expect them to do quite well in that game, despite no Lee Martin in that for Millwall. And I know that Bournemouth have got their own injury problems as well. Big Elliot, of course, going to be out for a long time. But I just couldn't find a way in that I was happy enough on that Millwall game. And yeah, like you say, there's nothing on this, you know. But since the end of March, 29th of March, Sheffield Wednesday have conceded 20 goals. They've absolutely shipped them out. I mean, if you let me take you through them. I mean, here, three against Bolton, three against Charlton, two against Bournemouth in a game where they scored four, to be fair. But three against Blackburn, three against Forest, again, games where they got points. But the point I'm talking about here is conceding goals. Two against Leicester, okay, and four against Watford. They are shipping them all over the place here. And I know they've had people like Lervin's out and so on and so forth, but they have still been very, very gettable goal-wise. And yes, they have picked up a win against Bournemouth and a draw against Forest in the last two away games. But for me here, Ipswich's problem all season has been away. At home, they've been pretty brilliant. And again, if you look at how they've scored, they've got two against Derby, they've got two against Doncaster, two against Ipswich. So initially, I was thinking, do you know what? I'm going to back Ipswich and both teams to score. That was my initial definite play on this. And I sat down at my little laptop in front of me here, and I thought, 13-5, Ipswich and both teams to score, that'll do me. But then I thought, I don't know, last game of the season is a little bit awkward. And then I looked at the prices on over 3.5 and 4.5 goals. Over 3.5 is 7-4. Over 4.5 is 4-1. Now, over 3.5 would have landed in Ipswich's last home game against Bournemouth. Over 2.5 would have landed in the game before that against Donny. And then, while a draw against Forest won all before that, it would have landed against Wigan, and it would have landed against Derby in terms of over 2.5, and then the Wigan game over 3.5. But when Sheffield Wednesday's games, universally, in the last, you know, month and a bit, 29th of March, 5 goals, 3 goals, 6 goals, 6 goals, 6 goals, 5 goals, 4 goals. When I saw that, I thought, it's the last game of the season, so maybe instead of playing Ipswich and both teams to score at 13-5, which I do like, Sheffield Wednesday picked up 4 points in the last 2 away games, so instead, over 3.5 is 7-4, over 4.5 is 4-1. And those, for the final games of the season, do you know what I mean? Those look like very, very good overs shouts. I don't know why I dropped that cockney, do you know what I mean, in there. But I've done it now. I'm going to stand by it, as I'm going to stand by these over 3.5 and 4.5 goal markets, 7-4 and 4-1, respectively.
Very nice. Let's have a look at the final championship match then before delving into leagues 1 and 2. Nottingham Forest at home at 15-8 to beat Brighton, who are priced up at 6-5 to win away from home. The draw is priced up at 5-2 in this one. In terms of the positions of these two teams, well, Brighton are the only team who can dislodge Reading in 6th position. Forest haven't got anything to play for other than league position. Brighton on 69 points, then with a plus 14 goal difference, which is exactly the same as Reading's. Reading on 70 points, so all to play for. Brighton's recent form, they haven't lost since the 29th of March when they've got beat at home by Middlesbrough. They've had a few draws in there, 4 draws and 3 wins. I suppose, you know, the Charlton win 3-0, 1-1 at home to Blackpool and 2-0 against Yeovil. They've had a decent run in and you'd have expected them maybe to do a little bit better. As for their away form, probably a little bit better. 3-3 draw at Blackburn, 0-0 at Barnsley, 4-1 win at Leicester, which was astounding, really, and 1-1 at Huddersfield. That just looks like stands out like a sore thumb, that Leicester result. Forest at home, mediocre, really. You know, they've won a game here and there, lost, they've drawn. There's nothing really to write home about. Is this the kind of game where, I mean, I think the traders have taken it into consideration here. 6-5 away from home doesn't really get the blood pumping, but they have to win this, don't they? Reading, incidentally. Yeah. Reading are at home to Burnley.
Yeah.
So, Reading are 4-5.
Yeah, Reading were a game that, again, we spoke about why I hadn't looked at Millwall a moment ago, and I looked at that Reading-Burnley game. What's Burnley's approach in terms of you know, going up and being very, very happy? And I know that Sean Dyche has said, we're not, you know, since following that, he said, we're not, you know, taking our eye off the ball, we're going to keep going for it, and they've looked okay. But 4-5 for Reading, were Burnley a good price, but then Reading's home form has been poor, and I just couldn't quite wangle an angle into that. This one I can. In that this season, when Brighton have had to do something, which has been very rare, because they've just very quietly just ticked over, they've just picked up the points when they needed them, and they've just carried on. And, you know, they've been sloppy at times, you know, games like that Middlesbrough game, for example, but on the whole, they've been very good indeed, and they've just ticked over nicely. And do you know what? I think this is another one where they tick over nicely. Forest season is done. They've had themselves a very turbulent year, haven't they? Billy Davies obviously leaving. They start the season superbly. You know, people like Andy Reid in phenomenal goal-scoring form. Henry Lansbury in phenomenal goal-scoring form. That itself has just trickled away a little bit. And they've not been particularly reliable. Now, I know that you've got people, you know, at the club, you know, coming out and saying it's going to be an exciting time now under Stuart Pearce next season. And you got, you know, people like Gary Brazil, who, after they got spanked by Bournemouth, came out. And I really liked it, actually. In his post-match, he came out and he went, "We didn't deserve anything. Nothing." And it wasn't a kind of a, well, you know, the way we played, it was just, "We didn't deserve this. It was just dreadful from us." And I like that. And it does, again, feel a little bit, while they were still in the promotion hunt up until that loss against Bournemouth, what I did like was that there was just, not did like, but what I did notice was there was just a bit of a, "Can we get this season done, please? Because it's been a horrible one, and we were really good, and we were almost there, and then we had the setback, and then we were almost there again, but no, it's just kind of come to an end." And I just think that that's going to be the feeling around the City Ground, because I think Nottingham Forest are going to look at this and go, I just can't quite get there. And, you know, during this period this season, they've had a huge amount of injuries, like 8 at a time, 9 at a time sometimes, Nottingham Forest, and they've not been able to get over the line then. I just looked at Brighton and thought they had to beat Yeovil. And I know Yeovil are a very poor side, but they did it, and they looked solid throughout. And I know that Yeovil hit the bar a couple of times, but they picked up that lucky goal from Kazinga Loa-Loa's cross, and then they finished it off as well. And I just think there's enough to get them over the line. Whether it's enough to actually get them into the playoffs because of Reading's game against Burnley waits to be seen. I'm not sure that it is. I think Reading might just do it, but I just couldn't find a comfy enough way into that. But here, 6-5 for Brighton is a great way in.
Yeah, fair enough. Best bets in League 1 and League 2 then, before we do, are both teams to score double. I'll just give you a quick summary of League 1 and League 2. Promotion and playoff all sorted in League 1, albeit the teams in 3rd, 4th, 5th and 6th can jostle for position ahead of the playoffs. At the bottom, Notts County, Crewe, Tranmere and possibly even Carlisle in the relegation battle, just because of goal differences, really. I'm saying possibly Carlisle there. The way it looks is that Carlisle are on minus 30 goal difference, so if they were to win, Crewe are on minus 27, so you it's not beyond the realms of possibility, a 3-goal swing if Crewe were to lose and Carlisle were to win. But, you know, you'll see that yourselves. League 2, the title could go to any of the top three. The four teams in positions 4th to 7th are guaranteed playoff football. Burton, York and Southend could change their positions depending on results. There's a slim chance of Wickham surviving at the bottom, but they need Northampton to lose and a 6-goal swing. Now, Wickham are at bottom side Torquay, so maybe they could score a few there. Northampton are at home to 8th place Oxford, so 6-goal swing seems unlikely, to be fair.
Yeah.
But that's the summary of where we are. What are your best bets in League One, Pete?
Well, teams like you mentioned, for example, Crewe there, they're playing Preston, and it might work in their favour, in that Preston are obviously in the playoffs and might have a focus on that, and that might work into Crewe's favour. Of course, on the other side, they're playing a good side in Preston. So how will that go against them? Carlisle, for me, are doomed, because I think the Wolves this weekend win. I think they're 4-7 or 4-9 this weekend, Wolves.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
and that is, for me, an absolutely cracking price. But the one that I liked here was Port Vale at 3-1. Now, only a couple of weeks ago, following the Doug Loft incident, I was kind of going, right, I think it's probably time to back against Port Vale here, because I think, you know, think of the damage that's done in the dressing room in terms of morale. But, you know, I know they lost to Sheffield United, but they played well in that game, and they've lost to Rotherham, who are a good side. And yes, they've lost to two good sides in a row. But the thing for me here was that Peterborough are done. They are in the playoffs. The playoffs, like you said, are absolutely decided. Preston, Leighton Orient, Rotherham, Peterborough. And I just felt here that 3-1 was a little bit big for Port Vale. So I've actually had a little nibble myself, and with my own cash on this one as well, 5-2 draw, no bet Port Vale, and plus a goal at 23-20. I've played them. I just think the Peterborough final game of the season, some of these teams are in the playoffs, their focus will just begin to drift, as I saw with my own eyes with the Burton game. I mean, Burton against Chesterfield at the weekend, Adam McGurk, who wasn't fully fit but was kind of sort of 70% fit, wasn't risked. They took off two or three of their best players 10 minutes from the end, Burton. You know, it's things like this. They want to protect players for playoff charges now, teams like this. Quite rightly, may I add, as well. And I just think that Port Vale, draw no better 5-2, were worth a little bit of a nibble.
Yeah, very good. League 2?
League 2. Now, there's so many good bets this weekend in League 2. I think York at 16-5, despite a focus on the playoffs, are playing a Scunthorpe side who've got the ultimate socks-up syndrome after going 29 unbeaten and then obviously losing last weekend. They were promoted, and I think all of that might play into York's hands. York, of course, want to try and keep that momentum up a little bit because they're not a side who've been there all season, who've just always had a bit of a focus on the playoffs. They've charged, and it's probably in Nigel Worthington's best interest to try and keep that momentum up, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So as opposed to being a side who've been there or thereabouts all season, who've been ticking over and have always had a bit of an eye on the playoffs. If you're York, you don't want to go and then go final game of the season, forget it, because we've got playoffs, because it pops your momentum, because York are the ultimate momentum side this season. So I like the look of York. You know, you've got Southend Burton, those two sides. You've got Rochdale away at Newport at 21-20, which looks unbelievable value. You've got the Spirites at home against Fleetwood at 5-6, which looks unbelievable value. But ultimately, Rochdale for me. I think Chesterfield win it, and I think Chesterfield win the league. But I think Rochdale beat Newport. And I was torn between the 5-6 for Chesterfield and the 21-20 for Rochdale. Ultimately, I've gone with the better price. I think Rochdale go away from home, and they beat Newport, who've got nothing to play for, who are done. And I think Rochdale have got everything to play for and all the quality to do it. I think the 21-20, they're the best outright bet of the weekend in terms of value to likelihood. But I think the league goes to Chesterfield.
Very good. Both teams have scored double. I'm going for Cheltenham against Dagenham and Redbridge. 68% of Cheltenham's home games have featured both teams scoring this season. 73% of Dagenham and Redbridge's away games have featured both teams scoring. That's a cumulative stat of 70%, and it's held up over recent form as well. It's 4-7, so it's a little bit short, but my other one bumps it up a little bit. Ipswich versus Sheffield Wednesday at 10-11 to be feature both teams scoring. 68% of Ipswich's home games have featured both teams finding the back of the net, and 59% of Wednesday's aways as well. That one represents 64%, and that bumps it up to a 2-1 price for the double. The NAP standings, while I was away, I won one and Mark lost me one. No problem, Mark. Don't worry about it. He had Wigan under 2.5. They actually lost 2-0, so it would have paid out the other way around. I did have a little chortle to myself. I only checked it this morning, by the way. Wolves versus Rotherham was my nap the week before. Over 2.5 at 10-11. 6-4? Why didn't I go for over 9.5? Plus £52.10. for me, and minus £115.31. Me being away didn't help, Pete, did it?
No, I mean, this time last season I was plus 98.
Yeah, don't do that. What I will say about Pete...
It's a 200-point swing, Lee.
What I will say about Pete is that he landed a... What was it about 200 to 1?
112 to 1,
6-team acca at the weekend. So he's in good form, so maybe don't listen to that, listen to the other...
That's been the problem all season.
You've been doing that.
I've been putting up loads of winners, but the flipping nap, I just can't... choose one.
At the last podcast of the regular season, they probably don't need me to tell them to ignore the nap and concentrate on the other ones. But what is it this week then, Pete?
Oh, I don't know anymore. Forget it.
I think it's Bolton.
It's Bolton for me to beat Birmingham. 7-5. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, Dougie Freeman to experiment. He has, but it's worked. On top of which, he has been very, very positive about planning for next season. And Birmingham, you know, they need to do this argument is much more pliable for very good teams. Birmingham are dropping like a stone, and actually I think are relegated this weekend. Right. 7-5, Bolton's my nap of the week.
Fairouz. I need your help. I know that sounds daft after what we've just said, but I need your help with the naps this week, Pete, a little bit. I've got two, and I can't decide between the two of them. My first one is over 2.5 goals in Chesterfield versus Fleetwood. Obviously, Chesterfield are top of the table on goal difference, 81 points, but any one of them, Rochdale or Scunthorpe, can win the league. As Pete said, maybe Scunthorpe suffering from a bit of socks-up syndrome. They're playing a Fleetwood team who are safe in the playoffs and can't be caught in fourth place. How big is the desire for Chesterfield to win the title, in your opinion?
Well, Chesterfield win the title. They win the league for me, and I think they're absolutely going to do it. I'm not sure if we'll be playing the overs goals in it, though.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. That's why I thought it might be quite a free-flowing game. It might be Fleetwood won't be doing anything special. They'll just take part in a good game, you see. That's what I was angling for. I thought it might be a 2-1 or maybe even like a 3-1 to Chesterfield. But Chesterfield just don't score very many goals at home, do they?
Well, it's just for me, it's just about Chesterfield being ruthless, which is what I think they are. And I think Fleetwood, Fleetwood go 2-0 down. Are they really going to chase the game? And Chesterfield will know that 2-0, for example, wins them the league.
Yes.
So are they going to keep going? I can't see it like that.
That's exactly what I wanted to know. So my bet of the week then is Wolves -1 at even money. They're playing Carlisle. Wolves, top of the table, of course, champions, 100 points. They've just. They're scoring goals for fun, as we know, recently. We mentioned that 6-4 against Rotherham, 2-0 against Peterborough, 4-2 against Colchester. There was a 0-0 against Shrewsbury, who are the bottom team in the table, which is a little bit of a worry for this bet. But 3-0 Port Vale, 2-0 Notts County, 2-0 Bradford, 3-1 Bristol City, 2-0 Preston. You see the common denominator. -1 has landed in all of those games. And they're playing a team in Carlisle who, admittedly, are fighting for their lives, got the outside chance of relegation. But I think if they go down by a couple of goals, I can't see them getting back. They've conceded. They had a 0-0 draw at Crawley, but conceded 4 at Peterborough and 6 at Preston North End. I mean, I haven't been outlandish for much of the season with my naps. I could go bigger than that. I could go overs on the goals. I mean, I was looking at over 4.5, but the prices are a bit skinny. So I'll just settle with what I've been doing all season. Just go for a moderate price, even money for Wolves -1.
Good stuff.
Yes.
By the way, I agree with that. I think Wolves might. I think they're battering.
Yeah, they should do, shouldn't they? Yeah.
I think they do, yeah. I think, you know,
Carlisle
are a good club.
Molyneux will be packed out. It'll be a great day. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, they're a good club, but the way the Wolves have been this season, you can't... I mean, like you say, I think it's 6 the other day. I know they conceded 4, but still, the -1 landed.
Yeah, the 4-9 on it. And it's, I mean, you know, if you're that kind of punter, the 4-9 on its own looks decent. By the way, Wolves -2, if you are a bit braver than me, is 13-5. Pete, thanks very much for your time. We'll be back for the playoffs. In the meantime, Pete will be on InPlay Radio, so you check that out for all your... InPlay footy betting and other sports, of course. We'll be back in time for the playoffs. So if you're having a bet on any of the markets that we've discussed, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.